Good morning, everyone. Lots to talk about on this takeaway morning. We'll have the latest on the internet battles that are still developing over the detention of Julian Assange and the consequences of more WikiLeaks. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste Headlee's out for another day. She better get back here. My voice is starting to fail. I don't know what's going on there. But we begin with the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony, which takes place tomorrow in Oslo. Its honoree, Liu Xiaobo, will not be attending, though. He's under house arrest in China. He's a Chinese political dissident calling for human rights in China. But what is maybe surprising is the number of countries who are following China's lead. They said almost immediately they would boycott the ceremony and not show up. Joining us now is Geir Lundestad, who's the permanent secretary of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, which awards the Nobel Peace Prize, and is also the Institute's director. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Also with us once again is Patrick Tyler, former New York Times Beijing bureau chief and author of A Great Wall, Six Presidents and China. He joins us from Washington, D.C. Pat Tyler, good morning.
Good morning, John.
So, Geir, let's begin with you. Is this a matter of principle for China, or are they trying to project that they have a lot of clout here and that if they don't want countries to come, they can make it very, very difficult for anybody that's going to cross China's line in the sand here? What do you make of what's going on here?
Well, China is very strongly opposed to this year's prize, and they are doing anything they can to influence others to stay away from our events and even to encourage demonstrations against this year's prize. We are not particularly surprised by this, although I must say that the Chinese embassy in Oslo has gone beyond what an embassy normally, far beyond what an embassy normally does.
Well, let's talk about the precedent of this sort of thing. I remember Andrei Sakharov wasn't able to pick up his Nobel Prize. He was a prominent Soviet dissident. Li Dokto refused to accept his award because he believed that it was immoral to accept an award with Henry Kissinger, who had fought the war in Vietnam. What is the precedent for this kind of thing, either not accepting the award or trying to get other nations to boycott?
There are five laureates who have been unable to come for political reasons to receive their prizes. The first was Karl von Ossietzky, the opponent of Hitler. He couldn't come in 1936. Andrei Sakharov couldn't come in 1975. Lech Walesa couldn't come in 1983.
Right.
Aung San Suu Kyi could not come in 1991. And now Liu Xiaobo. So there's a tradition here, and many of those who have written about the Nobel Peace Prize, they argue that these are maybe our best prizes, our most important prizes, although they were all very, very controversial.
Patrick Tyler, is this about China's clout right now in the world? I gather 19 countries have declined, including Colombia, Cuba, Egypt, Iran, Kazakhstan, Iraq, Pakistan, the Philippines, Russia, Saudi Arabia. They're not coming. A number of other nations. So what might be the reasons for them following suit, even though they might not agree with China ideologically on this matter?
Well, you name a place on the planet where China is either providing development assistance or is an important political supporter to a regime that is under pressure from the rest of the world, or where Chinese oil companies are laying critical infrastructure for bringing new resources to market that are important in the developing world, and you'll find countries that are under pressure to boycott the Liu Xiaobo ceremony this week. I would just add to the list that you just rattled off about prizes, people who weren't able to collect their prizes. One that was collected was by the Dalai Lama in 1989. And if you remember, that was the year of the Tiananmen crackdown by the Chinese authorities against the pro-democracy movement in Beijing. And China at that time was very upset that the Dalai Lama had been awarded the prize. And the Nobel Committee arguably was trying to highlight that year the pressure within that society for democratic reform. And it made the same argument it's making now, that this is a gross interference in its internal affairs. And that's going to happen. It's going to use its clout. Its clout is growing. I think when the Chinese spokesman stood up yesterday and said the whole world is against the Nobel Committee, that she had it exactly wrong side out. I think the majority of the world sees the awarding of this prize to Liu Xiaobo as a constructive act to highlight the pressure within China for more democratic reform.
Oh, Pat Tyler, you make a really important point, reminding us of the Dalai Lama in 1989, the year of the Tiananmen Square crackdown. At that time, China was alone in its opposition. It seems to me that we see a real significant change, that in 2010, China is not alone in this boycott, and that while the spokesman may look ridiculous saying the whole world is against the Peace Prize, she's more right this time than she might have been had she said the same thing in 1989. Wouldn't you say, Geir Lundestad?
Yes, of course. I mean, China has grown tremendously since 1989, and most of this growth is certainly welcome. I mean, they have made tremendous economic progress, and it's wonderful that China has lifted hundreds of millions out of poverty. And we see that all the countries of the world are adapting to this fact of China's rise. But the Nobel Committee feels it's important that somebody is able to speak out about basic concerns such as human rights, when we see that practically all the governments of the world feel that they have to be very careful in what they say to the Chinese.
Well, Geir Lundestad is the permanent secretary of the Norwegian Nobel Committee. He'll be awarding that Nobel Peace Prize tomorrow in the absence of Liu Xiaobo. Patrick Tyler, before we go, what is the pressure for reform? How would you assess the pressure for reform inside China right now? An unstoppable force or something that's diminishing?
It's not diminishing. It is always there. The internet, more than anything else, has opened the information pathways in that country and are allowing millions of young people to access the rest of the world, to make comparisons of Chinese society to the rest of the world. I think the pressure is changing. People are not looking for catastrophic confrontations with the government over democratic reform, but they're interested in it. The pressure is always going to be there, and it's going to grow.
And the world will be watching. Patrick Tyler, former New York Times Beijing bureau chief, author of A Great Wall, Six Presidents and China, talking about the absence of the Nobel Peace Prize recipient tomorrow in Oslo when that prize is awarded, Liu Xiaobo.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.